Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
You're there in the studio, so thanks for getting up early and being there. I'm actually in a time zone. A different time zone and got a little more sleep than you, maybe.
And so someone gets to take a vacation, it sounds like.
Someone is trying to take a vacation, but she's still working, right? She's calling into the radio this morning. But yeah, I'm lucky enough to get to take some time with my daughters, and I am currently down in the Willamette Valley of Oregon in the grass seed capital of the world, watching it rain outside, and looking forward to a couple days off.
Perfect. Well, good for you. I think you've earned it. You deserve it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So, Arthur, you have been my guest on this show a number of times now. You're one of my recurring guests that comes back and talks to us about things going on at the Division of Agriculture every quarter or so. So, I'm excited to have you on again and let us know what's going on this time of year. But I have to pause for a minute and point out that today is my 52nd Ag Matters radio show.
Amy, I think that is the biggest congratulations I think the ag community owes you, and I applaud you. I think it's just fantastic. Good job.
Thank you. I'm super excited about it. It kind of blows my mind to think that. I haven't talked to 52 different people, but I've covered, 52 different topics, some positive agriculture stories from across the state. And I think we're doing good work, and I appreciate the Division of Ag and your support of it. Like I said, I think this is your fourth or fifth time on the show, right?
Yeah, it is. I think I've called in from Juneau. I think I've called in from Homer. I've been in here a couple times. It's been a few times that I've been in here.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you for that. And just, for the folks listening, they may have heard this before, or maybe they know about you, but just because I can, Arthur, I'd like to start by you reminding folks about your connection to Alaska, and particularly your connection to Alaska agriculture. How did you get where you are today?
Well, currently I'm the Director of Agriculture for the state of Alaska, as you know, and I started farming in 2003, and in 2006, I started the South Anchorage Farmers Market, and pretty much agriculture has consumed my life for the past probably 12 years or so. My farm is we produce specialty crops, zucchini, onions, cucumbers, and that's really what led to me being Director of Agriculture was farming.
Very good. We're glad to have you there. I think you've done really good work since you've been there at the Division, Arthur. And it's a fun week to talk about agriculture because it's Thanksgiving and everything this week is surrounded around food, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me about Alaska Grown on the Thanksgiving dinner table. Let's start with your dinner table. What local foods do you guys showcase at your Thanksgiving celebration?
Well, having a locally smoked ham is pretty much the highlight for us. And in fact, my kids, whenever I go to Delta Junction, when they hear that I might be traveling up there, the first thing they say is, "Dad, get a ham, get a Delta ham." It's pretty much legendary around our house. The Delta smoked ham, there's nothing better. However, I will say we also do have options down here that are just fantastic. You've got, I spoke with, Nate Burris yesterday, and just to hear what he's got going on. And for those that don't know, Nate owns Matt Valley Meats, and he also owns Butcher Block Number 9, and he's doing, meat gift packs, and, everything they do there is pretty darn fantastic. And I would say their signature products is their prosciutto de Palmer. And that's some amazing stuff there. And they do a smoked prosciutto dry aged product that, I didn't understand this, Amy, and maybe you are familiar with prosciutto or these dry aged meats, but he said some of this meat can be 3 years old. The more it's aged after it's treated like this, the more of a delicacy it becomes, and the quality actually goes up. So some interesting stuff there. He's got lots of salami there at Butcher Block Number 9 and Matt Valley Meats. And then I also spoke with Greg at Mike's Meats, and he's got a full selection of Alaskan beef. You know, from he's got Delta beef, and he's got some beef from Stickanack Island, grass fed. That's the when you go to Kodiak Island, you hear about the Stickanack beef, and you know that's a you know those are cattle that have been living in isolation for quite a while, and so that's another special product they've got. And then they've also got pork products from Delta Junction. So
awesome.
the meat is definitely Alaskan meat, I think, is really something to highlight right now, especially going into the holidays for your dinner table.
Absolutely. I don't know, Arthur, if you had the pleasure of meeting Francois Vecchio when he was here. He's he's the guy that taught Nate a lot of what he does with curing the meats and the prosciuttos and the salamis, et cetera. But just randomly, actually, you mentioned that I follow him on social media, and he posted the other day. He's authored a book. He's probably authored more than one, but his most recent book is called Meat, Life, and Consequences.
I love it. And yes, I do know him. I know Francois.
Yeah. My Story and a Vision of the New Meat and Charcuterie. So I can't wait to get my hands on that because he's a fascinating guy, and he has really upped the standard of those cured meats here in Alaska by coming and doing trainings and working with guys. So, go ahead.
I'll say what was explained to me, Amy, by an outside third party that has traveled all over the world. This gentleman spoke to me about what's going on in Alaska with what Francois has brought to the table and, you know, the work that he's done here and Nate and other people. But he said that Alaska's got right now, as funny as it sounds, world-class meat shops. And that's something that we couldn't always say. And this third party that's traveled a lot, he said not every state even has a meat shop of a caliber like this. But he goes, what we're ending up with is we're ending up with a meat shop that you might find in Europe, where they do these things. They've done them with craftsmanship, with skill, and they said, you know, he just said Alaska is just in a very unique place to have an opportunity to go and shop and try these things that normally you'd have to go to Europe. So
yeah,
pretty cool stuff.
Incredible, yeah. We talk a fair amount about red meat there in that little segment, but I know that a lot of folks have been also sourcing poultry, chicken and turkeys locally. I know the Bogard Food Hub posted on social media late last week that they still had very few turkeys and chickens left. I'm sure those are gobbled up by now. Unintended. But yeah, hopefully everybody's got what they need protein-wise for their plate for their Thanksgiving dinner. And then obviously there's so many options with the sides to fill your plate up with Alaska-grown deliciousness.
Absolutely. Yep.
I have to interrupt you for a second, Arthur, to remind listeners that they're listening to Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, calling in from rainy Oregon, and my guest today is Division of Agriculture Director Arthur Keyes. All right, so you mentioned a meat pack available from Nate Burris and Butcher Block Number 9, and that got me thinking about Alaska-grown, like, gift ideas and giving the gift of food. And we're so lucky that now there's so many value-added businesses that are highlighting and sourcing Alaska-grown products. What are some of your favorites or some of the ones that you can think of?
Well, Amy, I think, you know me well, and you know that I don't leave the state of Alaska without taking a bag of carrots with me. And I don't mean
right.
A little bag.
Yeah.
I take an extra suitcase, I fill it with carrots, and I take it with me, and I hand it out wherever I go.
Yeah.
So I've got to ask, got to put you on the spot a little bit. You're in Oregon. You're going back to visit family. Amy, did you take a suitcase full of carrots with you?
I did not. I admit I did not. You know what I was thinking today, though? Coincidentally, this is the way things always work, but I have a friend who happens to be, she's from Oregon, and she happens to be in Fairbanks, for the Thanksgiving week. And we were kind of connecting on social media. She was saying that she was going to go out to Chena Hot Springs. And I said, oh, you know, if you run into Bernie. And we're having this connection. And just this morning, I was thinking that I needed to send her out to North Pole to Arctic Harvest Distillery, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're that's one option. If you so choose to enjoy the alcoholic spirits, we have so many distilleries and breweries now that are trying to source Alaska-grown products, which is really incredible.
You know, I'm glad you brought them up. I was up there at their distillery. I've been up there quite a few times, but I was up there a couple weeks ago. And for those that don't know, up in North Pole, Alaska, Stu Davies, this is his distillery that he's built with his family, but he's a farmer from that region. And so if you can imagine a field full of grain, beautiful barley, you know, a variety of grain, but just incredible, you know, 40 acres. And on the corner of that is a beautiful distillery on the corner of this field. So what's happening is the products are being harvested right there, brought into the distillery and turns into, you know, a value-added product of such as whiskey or moonshine. And the beauty of that place in the summertime is just unreal. And it's a treat. And so I would encourage anybody that's up there, your friend especially, to go there, check it out and see what they're doing. And I think it's mentionable too that they have a really dark whiskey that, you know, you're not doing it right if you don't try it.
Yeah. I had Kelly, one of Sue's daughters and one of the Arctic Harvest Distillery gals. I had her on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling us all about the process. And La Bodega in Anchorage is carrying their products. So for those listening in South Central, if you want to give it a try, I was lucky enough to get my hands on a bottle of it, on the moonshine in particular.
Oh.
And it was quite good. Yeah.
I will tell you, Amy, just as a quick note, I was down at the Farm Bureau meeting in Homer a week or two ago, and there was a bottle of that dark whiskey up for auction, and it went for over $200.
It sure did. It sure did.
So these are people who are in the know. They're willing to pay the money for it. It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, it's just an exciting time for those value-added products and for small businesses that are supporting their neighbors and highlighting what we have to offer in Alaska, which is super fun to watch, you know? I mean, 10 years ago when I was traveling home to Oregon for the holidays, there wasn't that option to buy, you know, to get some Alaska-grown spirits to take back and share with my family. And now there's multiple options. You know, Arctic Harvest is not the only one, so that's pretty cool.
Exciting times.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So, yeah, I guess the point of that little discussion was to remind folks to think Alaska Grown when they're doing their shopping. You know, Saturday is Small Business Saturday in communities all over the world, but we hope that folks will think about the small businesses in their community and support them and shop as local as possible, right?
Absolutely. And Amy, on that note, I should mention that there's even a Wednesday market going on right now in Anchorage, indoors.
What?
Yeah, even
really?
Though it's really cold out. You go to the Sears Mall, there's a market there. You can get, you know, a variety of storage crops. You can get, I think they've got barley there. I think they've got some pork products and maybe even some other protein options too. So lots of options.
Very good. And I think I saw that Bush's Bunches out there in Palmer, that they were going to be open today with a wide variety of storage vegetables. And maybe I think that it even said they had some cabbage left if folks want to get some cabbage on their plate for Thanksgiving.
Excellent. And so for those that don't know, Bush's Bunches is on the old Glen Highway, just right outside of Palmer.
Yep.
Two options in South Central.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good. So, Arthur, we're, you know, as it happens, we buzz through our time on this show, just chatting back and forth. So we're about halfway there already. So let's get into some of the activities going on at the Division of Agriculture and project updates, et cetera. That, the $5 challenge that you guys did this summer, that's wrapped up now, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm really proud of the team there at the division for this $5 challenge, what they did. And you know, Jennifer Castro took lead on this. And I'll tell you what, super exciting. The feedback we're getting from the farmers is just been fantastic. The word from pretty much. So what we targeted here was retail outlets, you know, your large chains, and even some of your not so large chains. That's where people are doing the bulk of their buying. And what we challenged everybody for a recap, I know I've talked about this on the show before, but what we really challenged everybody was that if every Alaskan spent $5 a week on Alaska grown products, it's going to put tens of millions of dollars back into the local economy. And in fact, if every Alaskan did this for 52 weeks, it'd put over $180 million directly back into the economy. And this is money that's going to roll around and really impact people's lives, because it's money that's, you know, it's being produced here. You know, we're not having to import these products. And so pretty fantastic. And what we heard back from the people that are supplying the grocery stores is that they plan on growing more next year. Pretty much, I know my staff did a survey, and I had got the preliminary results. I haven't seen everything yet, but from what I saw, it looked like every single producer, Alaskan grower, that supplied these retail outlets was coming back with the same response. I've got to grow more next year. We had one producer, a large producer, say that he's going to build two new commercial greenhouses to try and meet the demand that he hit this year.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's just super exciting to be the director of agriculture and be able to have the program like this, you know, run the way it did and have the impact that it did, and see that it's making a difference for the people that are actually, you know, out on the outside working when the weather's bad and dealing with everything that farmers have to deal with, and seeing that it's helping them is, you know, that's why I'm here, Amy.
Yeah, that feels good. And so the whole point of the $5 challenge, or I guess the result of the $5 challenge, was that there's going to be a winner, right? Is there going to be a retailer that gets showcased as having done the best job of highlighting Alaska Grown? Is that the end game?
Absolutely. I think, and so what we did, you know, we challenged consumers to buy five, and we challenged the retailers to, you know, build displays that featured Alaska Grown products prominently in the stores, making it easy for the consumers to find these products and buy it. And so, in the effort to, you know, judge this, we told the retailers, send us pictures. Examples of what you're doing on a weekly basis. Just send us pictures. We'll catalog them and save them up. And also, we did store visits. We'd go in there and take pictures and see what they're doing and kind of get a feel for how it was going. And I think there's a couple of stores that did really rose heads and shoulders above everybody else. And I'm not sure which one's the winner yet. But regardless of the winners, what's going to happen is we're going to invite them to Juneau, to the Alaska Grown reception at the Governor's Mansion.
Very good.
Or Governor's House is really the right way to put it. And and invite them there to, you know, to really receive the recognition of what they've done, because, you know, it's important. This is really important for Alaska. Nothing, you know, this is going to have a greater impact on people's lives than pretty much anything else, you know, that we've got going on.
Well, and I want to, you know, having been a former Division of Ag employee, I certainly respect and understand the projects and the bureaucracy that you guys work within, et cetera. And I noticed, I saw a couple negative comments about this $5 challenge that, oh, yeah, it only supports the big farmers who are big enough to be in the retail outlets. And I'll let you address that if you want. But I want to point out that, you know, there are a handful of growers that are able to get their product in, you know, they're large enough and they're scaled enough to get their products into retail outlets such as these grocery stores. And you bet they probably received a larger benefit from this program, because that's directly where it was targeted. But I want to point out that, to me, a rising tide floats all ships, right? And the amount of awareness and effort that went into this project. And, you know, every time a person walked into the grocery store and sees the Alaska Grown logo, sees a local product highlighted, that is a win for the entire industry. Because if we can increase demand at that retail level, that opens the door for additional medium to large scale growers to get into the retail outlet, right?
Absolutely.
And the grocery stores, then the grocery stores can say, hey, I heard about this new product, or, you know, I'm ready to source a new vegetable or a new value-added product or whatever. So I just kind of want to nip that in the butt, that this program, yes, it was targeted at the retail outlets, but it was good for everyone, in my opinion.
So let me address that. So first off, I'd say this. For anybody that would want to complain through an avenue that's really just complaining, I can't help that. But if they called my office and said, hey, I want to participate in the $5 challenge and access these retail markets, well, here's the great news, Amy. As a producer, as a farmer, before I became division director, I've jumped through all the hoops and I've experienced how difficult it is to get into the stores because honestly, as a farmer, I'm a small farmer. But personally understanding how difficult it is to maneuver through that was great for this challenge because I was able to meet with the heads of these companies, talk to them about the difficulties of what it takes to get into stores. Explain that to the top people. And so my staff, it's been great. My staff has created a spreadsheet of if you're a small producer and you want to access, you know, Safeway or Fred Meyer's, we've got everything on a spreadsheet already worked out. You're so much farther ahead. If you come to us and say, hey, I'd like to access it, you'll be so much farther ahead than I ever was. I mean, I had to invent the wheel to get in, and we've got the wheel ready for you. All you got to do is come and ask for it. We're going to hand you a paper that's going to walk you through all the steps. It's going to get you into these stores, and it's going to be a breeze. So that I'm excited about is that we can help them. Now, I will tell you one of the success stories is we did have someone, a producer, Alaska Grown producer, that had a product, a great product, but he had not accessed Safeway or Fred Meyer's. He wasn't in there. And when I met with the head of Safeway, Raynal Bellio, here in Alaska, came to my office. We sat down. We talked about the $5 challenge. We talked about everything we could do. He was really supportive. And I had an example in my office of this product that was Alaska Grown product. I handed it to him. I said, well, here's a product right here. Here's an example of something that should be in your stores. You should have this. He said, well, this looks great. I should have it. 2 weeks later, that grower got a call from Safeway, and currently that product is available in all the Safeway stores in Alaska. It's amazing. So you can go to Juneau and buy a product that's Alaska grown with the Alaska grown logo on it. And until we had done this $5 challenge and put this effort out there, it never happened. I don't think you could ever go to Juneau and find Alaska grown products in there. So we can help those people that feel like this is just targeted toward big growers. That's not the case at all. It's targeted toward anybody that wants to do the work to access these markets. We can help you.
Yeah, very good. Hey, Arthur, there's a train about to go by, so I apologize for that if it starts to get loud. And I'm looking at the clock and recognizing that we only have a couple of minutes left. One of the things that I wanted to be sure and mention, because it was a hot topic the last time I had you on the show, was Prop 64 and the Board of Game meeting was that last weekend or 2 weekends ago?
Yep.
Anyways, when I'll just throw out what I heard, and then you can respond with any additional information you have. But last weekend, I was at the Women in Agriculture Conference here in Palmer, and one of our attendees was Susie Crosby, who's was our expert guest on when you and I talked about this last time.
Yep.
But she had been at the meeting, and she mentioned that the Prop 64, the notion of removing sheep and goats from Alaska's clean list, has been officially tabled at this time. So that was very, very good news.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I went to that meeting that weekend. I was like, it kind of all runs together, but that was about a week and a half ago, I think.
I think so, yeah.
And, it's kind of hard to keep it all straight when you're at meetings at throughout the different weekends. But I think there's a real opportunity to do some better communication. I think that it being tabled is great, but I don't think that we can forget that this is an issue that's important.
It's certainly not off the table, which is where we'd like it to be, right?
It's not off the table. I do have I did see Susie Crosby there, and I believe Tiana Thomas was there, and Janet Otto, and they were sitting right behind me. And Tiana had put together a real nice list of suggestions of directions how this could go in a smoother fashion. And so I actually was looking at that last night, and I really think she nailed it on some of her suggestions. There needs to be better communication between the two sides. And right now, I really saw an impasse when I was there at the weekend, that weekend. There's still an opportunity, and people still need to be vigilant and aware and continue discussion. And it needs to be positive discussion. I don't think people getting angry and yelling at one another is productive.
Okay. Well, I guess my advice to folks would be to continue to watch the Alaska Farm Bureau's social media posts about it and their working group. Are they still taking the lead on that communication with the Board of Game about this topic?
Yeah, I believe so. And I do have staff that is working with Amy. And we, you know, unfortunately, at the Division of Ag, we are stretched so thin with staffing-wise. I mean, you worked there, and even since you've worked there, the staffing level has even decreased since then. And so everyone is really got a lot of good people working, but there's a limit to what we can do too.
Yeah, sure. I get that. So our time is just about up. Arthur, are there any other topics that you just wanted to mention briefly before we wrap up this edition, this 52nd edition of Ag Matters Radio?
Well, you know, I'm looking at my notes here, and I was going to give away an Alaska Grown T-shirt if someone could call in and tell me how old the logo is. But
we probably can't. It's probably too tricky to have somebody call in at this point, but maybe the first person to comment on the social media post about this morning's show. How's that?
There you go. I've got a T-shirt right here for them.
If they can tell you what?
How old the Alaska Grown logo is.
How old the Alaska Grown logo is.
It's not a hard question.
No, it's not. And if you're listening and you know how old the Alaska Grown logo is, comment on the Alaska Farmland Trust or a Facebook post, and Arthur will get you a T-shirt. Arthur, thank you so much for being my guest today on Ag Matters Radio. Happy Thanksgiving week.
You too, Amy. You enjoy your vacation.
All right. Have a great day.
Talk later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.